Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tzadi Ted Amud Aleph, sixth line down. The Gemara begins, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yemot HaMashiach, 40 Shana. The duration of the period of time of Mashiach will be for 40 years. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, 40 Shana Akut Bedor. So the Pashtuta Pasuk is speaking about the Dor HaMidbar, and it says for the 40 years in which that door was in the Midbar, Akut Bedor, I loathed, or I was angry at that generation. But over here, as Rashi says, first of all, Bedor, we're talking about a generation that's unique or special, that only has this small period of time. As Rashi says, 40 Shana Shu Mishuna Midorot Shelefanav, it's different than the other generations that were before it. And that is the generation of Mashiach, which is going to have changes or things that are different than any other generation. And that's why it's unique, that door. And then Rashi says the word akut, instead of meaning angry or loath, will be naktei. I will take them. I will rule over them. I will be their king. And Rashi notes that even though it's speaking about the metei amidbar, nevertheless, it's written in the future tense of akut. And therefore Rashi says that they darshan it to reference to the Yemot HaMashiach. On the other hand, the Yad Ramo over here says that the Akut Bedor is a reference to the other nations. You know, there'll be a period of 40 years in which Akut Bedor, I will loathe or be angry at the other nations, that Bnei Yisrael themselves will be on the good side or in Hashem's favor, whereas I will then loathe the other nations, and that will make them unique. That would be the period of time of Yemot HaMashiach. Whereas the Marashah says that the reference here to the door of Mashiach is because of what we darshaned before, in the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Mashiach, when he says, Ayom, im bikolo tishmau. Then on that day, if you listen to my voice, that'll be the time of Mashiach. And this is the end of that perek in Tehillim, and therefore it's referencing to the Zman of Mashiach. Belazar ben Azai Omer, Shibim Shana. It will last for the duration of Yemot Mashiach before 70 years. Shenamar. So it says in Yishayah, Vayaba Yomahu, Vinishkachat. Tzor Shivim Shana, the tire will be forgotten for 70 years. Kimei Melech Echad, like the duration or the reign of a single king. Now Rashi over here says Melech Echad means Melech Miyuchad, a particular or significant king, which is a reference to that of Mashiach. And that's what the Gemara says, Ezu Melech Miyuchad Aveyomer Ze Mashiach. This is the Mashiach, and therefore he thinks that the duration of the reign of Melech Mashiach will be for 70 years. Whereas the Marsha says over here that, not that it's miyuchad and chashuv, rather it's melech echad, there will be only one king at that time. And that will be the period of time of Mashiach. Rabbi Omer Shlosha Dorot. Rabbi on the other hand says it's for three generations. Shenemar, Yiraucha im shamesh, lifnei yareach dor dorim. I will feed you in with the sun, and before the moon for generations. The Gemara in Brachot uses this to discuss the period of time or the right time for tefillah. One is Yerucha im Shamesh, at the sunrise, one davens. And then Lefei Reach Dor Dorim means right before nightfall, before Shkiah, one davens Mincha. And then the Gemara discusses the risks in doing such a thing, but that is why many people favor davening Mincha Ketano over Mincha Gdola based on this pasuk. But here, as Rashi notes, that this is speaking about the time of Mashiach, because of what we darshaned in yesterday's daf, which is Lifnei Shemesh Yinon Shemo, Iraucha Israel, Lifnei Yareach, means Lifnei Machut Beit David, which is compared to a Yareach, because it says, Ki Yareach Ikon Deolam. So, Iraucha Im Shemesh means that they will be there with the Shemesh, that is the time of Mashiach, or Mashiach himself, that Bnei Israel, Iraucha, will feel Im Shemesh, with Shemesh, as we just noted, which is the Zman of Mashiach, Lifnei Yareach Dor Dorim, and before Malchut Beit David, meaning it will appear before Malchut Beit David, Dor Dorim. Dor is one door, Dorim is two Dorot. Altogether, that's three Dorot, in which there will be this reign or the period of Mashiach. And the argument about what the duration of Zman Mashiach is might relate to one of two aspects. One is the fact that Olam Haba succeeds Yemot HaMashiach, and therefore, what is the duration of Yemot HaMashiach, which is that preparatory time until you reach Olam Haba? Or if you believe that there is an association with Tchiyat HaMitim, then how does Yemot HaMashiach, or the duration of Yemot HaMashiach, play into Tchiyat HaMitim? As well as if you believe, like Shmuel, and maybe we're going to see in a second, Rabbi Hillel, that Yemot HaMashiach are not so different than today, then what is the duration of that period of time of Yemot HaMashiach until we reach the next stage, or things will be more significantly changed. And now we have the Rabbi Hillel, who we actually saw yesterday quoted from his statement over here. Rabbi Hillel Omer, Ein lehem Mashiach l'Israel, Shavar achlua b'mei Chizkiyahu. The Rabbi Hillel says there is no Mashiach for Israel because they already ate up all those zchuyot, or the time of Mashiach, in the period of Chizkiyahu. So over here, there are three different approaches to dealing with Rabbi Hillel's position. One approach is, read it at face value, which is that Mashiach can't come anymore because of the fact that it was used up in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Although that seems to be a very difficult explanation, as well as the fact that we see that the majority, if not the overwhelming majority of Chachamim, disagree with that position of Rabbeinu Hillel. Therefore, the Rishonim have alternate views of what Rabbi Hillel is saying. Rashi over here suggests, "Ein lehem Mashiach Yisrael, ela kosh baruch hu imloch be'atzmo v'galem levado," that there won't be Mashiach, but rather Hashem will do it himself, and Hashem will rule over them for that period of time. So there won't be any king or intermediary. There will be a direct link to God, or the kingship of God will be the kingdom of Mashiach, rather than an individual who is the Mashiach. That's the view of Rashi, the Ran, and other Rishonim. The Adrama takes issue with this view of the Rashi because it doesn't really make so much sense then what it means, Shekvar Achlua b'mei Chizkiyahu, that they already ate it up or used it up in the time of Chizkiyahu, because it wouldn't be a negative statement, but rather a positive statement. It's a good thing they used it up in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, because now they get Hashem directly rather than the Melech HaMashiach. So the alternate views are that Rabbi Hillel says that Mashiach will not come as a result of Klal Yisrael, or because of the Klal of Klal Yisrael, rather because of the individuals who do tshuva, or the tzaddikim that deserve it. And so there will be no Mashiach in the sense of Klal Yisrael as a whole, but rather just individuals who will be deserving of the Mashiach, and he'll come for them. And that has echoes of the position of Rabbi Yeshua that we saw, who argued on Rabbi Eliezer as to whether there needs to be tshuva in order for Mashiach to come. And we said over there that there were different qualifications of the position of Rabbi Yeshua. One of those was the possibility that he would only come for the tzaddikim and not for the others who didn't do tshuva. And that leads others still to say that Rabbi Hillel's position is that Bnei Yisrael will never deserve the Mashiach, and they'll only come because of either the Chilul Hashem that would result if he didn't come, or in order for Hashem to bring it about to be a Kiddush Hashem, which was another more extreme view of what Rabbi Yeshua's position was, that we're seeing echoed here in the position of Rabbi Hillel, this idea that Mashiach won't come b'zchut b'nei Yisrael, that zchut was used up in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, but rather it'll have to come l'mani, because of me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Sharlei Mari l'Rabbi Hillel. He's saying this in a nice fashion, but Hashem should forgive Rabbi Hillel for the position he is taking. Chizkiyah Eimadavo. The story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when did that take place? Bibayit Rishon. It's recorded in Malachim Bet. It's recorded in Ishayahu, a Navi who is in the middle of Bayit Rishon. And after that point in time, Vilu Zechariah, we have Zechariah Navi, as Rashi points out, that this isn't Zechariah ben Yoyada, who was a Navi in the time of Bayit Rishon, rather, Zechariah ben Brachia, who is part of the Treyasar, Kamitnabe b'Bayit Sheni, who is a Navi in Bayit Sheni, or during the 70 years of the Galut, who has a Nivuah during the time period of Daryavish Darius, the king of Persia. Ve'amar, and the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Gilu mi'od bat Zion, you should rejoice greatly, the daughter of Zion. Hari bat Yerushalayim, shout out, call out in joy, the daughter of Yerushalayim. Hinei Malkech Yavolach, because your king is now coming to you, Tzadik, a righteous individual, a just individual, Venosha, who, and he is victorious, Ani, Veruchev al Chamor, he is humble, riding on a donkey. This is the pasuk we quoted yesterday in the stira between Zechariah and that which we found in Daniel, that he will come from the Shamayim in the clouds, and here he is an Ani, Veruchev al Chamor, Ve'al Ha'ir, Ben Atunot, and he will come on a colt, that is the foal of donkeys. So here you see a description of Melech HaMashiach, or the Melech coming, a description of the period of time of Mashiach, post the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So you see that there is a Navi who's predicting something akin to what we would think is Mashiach, and he is after that time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And so Rav Yosef says, that Rabbi Hillel's position is not tenable in that case, because this is someone who is giving nevuah already in the post-Chizkiyo world, and he's still saying that Mashiach will come. Tanya Yidach, with another bright thought. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yemot HaMashiach, 40 Shana, is 40 years. Tivhocha, it says over here, Vayandcha, Vayarivecha, Vayachicha, Taman. It says that Hashem oppressed you, he starved you, and he fed you the man in the Midbar. Tivhotam, and it says in the Perek in Tehilim, Samcheinu Kimot Initanu, that you will make us happy, rejoice with us, the days or the period of time that you afflicted us. Shnot Ra'inu Ra'ah, the years in which we saw all the difficulty. So the Torah says that the time of Inui was the time that they sojourned in the Midbar while they were receiving the Mon, which is 40 years. And the Pasuk in Tehilim says that you will rejoice for that same amount of time, that same duration as you were afflicted for. And that, Rabbi Eliezer sees Yimot Mashiach being 40 Shana, similar to what he said before, Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Yimot Mashiach 40 Shana, but he just brings it from a different source. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Dalet Meot Shana, it's 400 years, Tivacha, Vabdum Vinu Otam 40 Meot Shana, it says in Brit Ben Aptarim, coming up in this week's Parsha, that Avram is promised that his descendants will be subjugated and afflicted for 400 years. Then he quotes the same pasuk from Tehillim, which is Samchenu Kimot Initanu, that you will rejoice, or we will rejoice the same duration as we were afflicted. So if they're Inui of Mitzrayim, which is 400 years, then there'll be a 400 year period of Zman HaMashiach. Rabbi Omer Gimel Meot V'Shishim V'Chamesh Shana, that the duration will be for 365 years, Kiminyan Yemot HaChama, like the solar year, Shenemar, because it says about a Kodesh Baruch on Yishayahu, Ki Yom Nakam Bilibi Ushnat Geulai Ba'a. It will be a day of vengeance in my heart, Ushnat Geulai Ba'a. And the year of my redeeming is coming. So you see that in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's world, that the Yom Nakam, the day of vengeance, is like a year. So then if you extrapolate that, if one day is equivalent to a year of redemption, then for the 365 days of the year, you multiply that by 1 year, you get 365 years. Rashi over here brings that there is an alternate girsa, which is Rabbi Omer Shin Samachei Alafim Shana, 365,000 years, because of the pasuk that we just quoted. But then he also quotes something that we're going to see later here in the Gemara, ki elef shani benecha ki yom, that 1,000 years in Hashem's eyes is like 1 day. And so for Hashem, a day is equal to 1,000 years. So if I take the 365 days of the year, multiply it by 1 day equaling 1,000, then you get 365,000 years. And so based on the pasuk in Yeshayah, that yom nakam bilibi ushnat gulai ba'a, every day of vengeance will result in a year of redemption, then you have to define what is the day, which is the days of the year would make sense, and then you have to say what is the day worth, if it's worth 1 year, or because of a Kodesh Baruch Hu has this relationship of 1 day equal 1,000 years, then it would equal 365,000 years. Ma yom nakam bilibi, what does it mean that the day of vengeance is in my heart? Amar Rav Yochanan libi galiti levrai lo legiliti, that I kept it in my heart and I didn't let it be known to my other limbs, kibiyachol, meaning that when a person keeps a secret or something inside of them, then their other limbs aren't aware of it because they've never expressed it to the outside. So, of course, this is kibiyachol. The Yad Ramah puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that this is kibiyachol over here. But the idea is that a person, when they think or they have something that's personal to them, that's machshavat alev. That's something that we have, a thought that we keep in our heart. So we attribute that to a Kodesh Baruch Hu to say that when it says bili bi, means that something that Hashem has to himself and has not revealed to the others around him. Shemelakish amar, bili bi galiti, to my heart I disclosed it, or that information is available. The Malachi Asherit, lo galiti, to the angels I have not revealed it. So according to the way Reish Lakish is reading it, it would imply that Rabbi Yochanan believes that the Malachim do have access to this information as to when it will be the Yemot HaMashiach, when is the day of vengeance that Hashem will bring and the redemption that will come, because the Malachi Asherit don't need to hear it. They can understand things. They get information by simply being present. And so they have that information. Reish Lakish goes as far as to say that they don't even have access to this. This is such a well-kept secret. Or this is the plan of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which nobody knows about, including the Malachim. And that means, lo giliti, that not even the Malachi Sharet have access to that information. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though it wasn't expressed as a nevuah, it still was something that was, quote unquote, available to the Malachi Asharet, whereas for Reish Lakish, not only was it coming in a dibur b'nevuah, it wasn't even a thought that was available to the Malachi Asharet. Tani Avime Breit Rabbi Bau, Yemot Mashiach Yisrael, Shivat Alafim Shana. It's actually going to be a duration of 7,000 years. Shenemar, because it says, Umsos Chatan Al Kala, the way that the Chatan celebrates with the bride, Yassis Alayich Elukayich, Hashem will celebrate about you. And again, here we're invoking the principle that we had before, that Rashi brought, Kielef Shanim Benecha Kiyom, that 1,000 years for you is like a day. And so just like by the Chatan V'Kala, they have Sheva Brachot, where they celebrate together, and that's the Mesos Chatan Al Kala. So multiply that by 1,000, and you get 7,000 years in which Hashem will celebrate or rejoice over us. Amrei Yehuda Meshmuel, Yemot Shnei Mashiach, Kimiyom Shnivra Olam Vad Achshav. Yemot Mashiach will be the same duration as from the creation of the world until now. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, we say it every day in Kriyat Shema, Eman Yirbu Mechem Yivei V'Nechem, Kimei Hashamayim Al Haaretz, that I will extend your days and have that long life. Kimei Hashamayim Al Haaretz, like the days that the Shemayim has been on the Haaretz, meaning the days that the world has been since creation. And as Rashi says over here, V'lo Amdu Baratzam Kolkach, we've never had a period of time in which Bnei Yisrael dwelled in the land for that duration of time, which means that it still hasn't been fulfilled. The Mayibu Mechem Yivei V'Nechem, and the Haaretz that he's promised to the Avot, so that promise has not been kept to the point of Kimei Shamayim Al Haaretz for the duration from creation until now. And that means the longer it is until Mashiach comes, the longer the duration of that period of Mashiach will be. But since it has yet to be fulfilled, that means it will be fulfilled in the future. And we also saw earlier that it says in that pasuk, Latet Lahem, to the Avot themselves and not to us, which was also one of the sources for Tchiyat HaMeitim. V'nachma Yitzchak Amar, Kimei Noach Ad Achshav. It is from the time of Noach until now, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, it actually was the Haftorah that we should have read this past Shabbat with Parshat Noach, but it turned out to be Rosh Chodesh. So we read a Shamayim Kisi, but the Haftorah for Noach itself and one of the Shivat Nechemta has this Pasuk in it, which is, Kimei Noach Zot Li, the waters of Noach for me, Asher Nishbati, that I swore. Now, the truth is that it's the remainder of the Pasuk that is important over here. Shnishbati mi'avor mei Noach od al haaretz, that I took a shvuah not to bring the floodwaters of Noach anymore on the land. Kein nishbati. So too, I take a shvuah mikzof alayich, from getting angry at you, umigarbach, and rebuking you. So you see that there is a correlation between the shvuah that I will not flood the world like I did in the time of the Mabul, the time of Noach, and the Shvuah that Hashem will no longer be angry with us or rebuke us. And that is, Rashi says, I won't destroy the world. Once Mashiach comes, until that period of time elapses. So Rashi sees it as the promise to keep the world intact and not have a Mabur, not be destroyed, is equated to the period of time that he keeps the promise with regards to Menoach. Others just simply see it that the equation of equivalence, which says that the same shvuah, which is, I will not bring a flood during that period of time that the world is prior to Mashiach, then that's the same shvuah, or the same duration of a shvuah that Hashem takes, that he won't be angry, and he won't be rebuking me, that the Zman of Mashiach will last the duration of time from the time of Noach until whatever time or period of time that Mashiach comes. So in these latter two explanations, as opposed to the earlier explanations, there's really no quote-unquote limit to the duration of Yemot Mashiach. The longer Mashiach takes to come, the longer Zman HaMashiach will last, according to these opinions. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Kulam Lo Nitnabu Elo Lemot HaMashiach. They only spoke about the period of time Mashiach. Avod Olam Haba, when you speak about Olam Haba, Ayin Lo Rata, no eye has ever been laid upon it or has seen it. Elukim Zulatecha, the exception of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaseh L'Machakeh Lo. It is there for those that wait. Upliga de Shmuel, and this member of Rabbi Yochanan cannot be reconciled with Shmuel's position. Damer Shmuel, en bein olam hazeh, limot ha-mashiach, ela shibud malchiot bilvad. Because Shmuel says that limot ha-mashiach, the only difference between today and the period of time of Mashiach, is the fact that Bnei Yisrael will be autonomous. that they won't be under the auspices of the other nations. They'll be free to do the mitzvot, free to practice as they choose, and that'll be the difference. But that means that all the other issues that are in the Nevuot and Nevi'im are not going to happen b'Yimot HaMashiach. So when would that be the case? Obviously, for Shmuel, would have to be in Olam Haba. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that the Nevi'im never spoke about Olam Haba, and that's why the Gemara sees these two positions as being irreconcilable. Though, the Baal HaTosafot in the Gemara and Shabbat note that Shmuel's statement here that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Yimot HaMashiach Ela Shibud Malchiyot Bilvad is not exact in nature. It's not saying that this is the only thing that will change. There'll be other things that are there in that time as well, which includes the Binyan Beit HaMikdash and other items that are part of the process of Yimot HaMashiach, that they obviously will have to happen according to Shmuel. So his statement means that there won't be miraculous differences necessarily. There will be differences, including the Binyan Abayit and the change in Shibud Malchiyot. So if those of folks sees a more expansive Shmuel than what we would read in the Gemara, nevertheless, it still doesn't reach or doesn't cover all the things that are mentioned by the Nevi'im, which seems to indicate that Shmuel thinks that that's part of Olam Haba, whereas Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Olam Haba is never mentioned by the Nevi'im, or they've never laid eye upon it. Dein Keitz LaDavar, as Rashi says, it's a limitless bountifulness that nobody can envision or nobody could understand or comprehend, and therefore the Nevi'im either never laid eye upon it, never had a Nevu'ah about it, or they can't express it, and therefore that's not what they were speaking about. Another memra from them, the Nevi'im only speak about the rewards for the Balei Tshuva. When it comes to the great Tzadikim, Ayin L'Rata Elukim Zulatecha, an eye has not seen it besides you, Hashem. Upliga de Rabbi Abau. Again, this principle of Rabbi Yochanan argues on the position of Rabbi Abau. Dama Rabbi Abau. Rabbi Abau says, and quoted in the Gemara and Brachot, Makom shebalei tshuva omdim sham, in the place where the balei tshuva stand, tzadikim einun dim sham. The tzadikim gemurim can't reach. I mean that the balei tshuva are at a much higher level. Shenemar quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu, which is shalom, shalom l'rachok ulekarov. It says there should be peace, peace, for those that are far away and those that are close. Bereisha rachok, v'hadar karov. It says first and foremost, the rachok, those that are farther away, will have the shalom, and then only afterwards, those that are karov. My rachok. So what does rachok mean? Rachok dimi kara. Someone who was originally far away, but now is close. That's a baal tshuva. Someone who was originally far away, now has changed their ways, and is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My karov. And what does karov mean? Karov demikara udahashta. That's someone who was always close with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, both in the past and now. And despite that fact, you see that the rachok is the first one mentioned in the pasuk and not the karov. And that way, Rabbi Bo sees that the Balei Tshuva stand in a place where the tzadikim gemurim can't stand. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, l'rachok, shu rachok me'avera. You interpreted the words rachok and karov incorrectly. It's not speaking about the person's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather it's speaking about their distance from iniquity, their distance from sin. And that is, rachok means someone who is always distant from sin. Karov, shu karov me'avera, v'nitrachek me'menu. And karov was someone who was close to sin, partook of sin, and then rachok has now distanced themselves. And that way, if you reverse the order in the pasuk, in that way then the rachok would be referring to the tzadikim gemurim, and the karov would be referring to the balei tshuva. And then that would support Rabbi Yochanan's only contention that the tzaddikim gemurim are in a place where the balei tshuva cannot reach. Obviously, there is a theological argument that's going on over here, but part of that might relate to the power of a baal tshuva, that the tam of the avera, or the fact that they have sinned, their ability to overcome that is exceptional, because even being that they've tasted the sin, they still manage to overcome it, and that's what makes them so great. Which is that we know that the powers of destruction far exceed the powers that are constructive or of construction. It's much easier to destroy. It's much more powerful to destroy than to construct. Constructing is very difficult. If the Baal Tshuva can rechannel their energies of destructive forces or the negativity and sin towards something that's positive, that's the most powerful form of constructive behavior, because it incorporates the negative forces and now turns them into positive forces, and that's why they will be catapulted even higher than the tzaddikim gemurim. Other than Rabbi Yochanan believes that the tzaddikim gemurim, someone who's never been tainted by sin, those individuals can always rise higher because the sin and the problems, the tuma'ah that involve the balei tshuva, even though they're able to turn them towards the positive and constructive manner, which catapults them higher, still there's always that baggage, quote unquote, that holds them back, and therefore they're not able to get above the level of tzaddikim gemurim. The truth is, it might be a mix of both. There might be some balei tshuva that are able to far exceed the tzaddikim gemurim. There might be other balei tshuva that can't reach the levels of the tzaddikim gemurim, and that both memrot are not necessarily incorrect. So now we have a third memra from them. Again, a similar type of statement about the Nevi'im, which is that the Nevi'im only spoke about the rewards for someone who marries off their daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or someone who does a business venture with Talmidei Chachamim to support them so that they can learn Torah, or someone who gives of his possessions or donates money to support that of Torah. Aval Talmidei Chachamim Atzmam, when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim themselves, Ayin Rata Elukim Zulatecha, no eye has been laid upon it. With the exception of you, God, nobody knows what the reward is for Talmidei Chachamim. Again, this idea that Rabbi Yochanan is following through with what he said before, which is that the Talmidei Chachamim and the Tzaddikim Gemurim, they're the ones who are going to get the greatest reward. Those that are ancillary, or those that are Balei Tshuva, will not get that type of reward of those great ones. It's interesting, Rabbi Yochanan's statement in the context of the story of his life, which is that at one point in his life, there was a possibility where he had reached a point of impoverishment that he was going to leave the world of Torah to go into work. And he hears a bat kol, he hears the bird saying something, that whoever goes back now will become the leader. And it's a story with him and Ilfa. Ilfa goes out to work and do business and to make a livelihood. Rabbi Yochanan returns to the world of Torah to become the great Rabbi Yochanan that he was. As you see over here, Rabbi Yochanan really thinking in that way, which is that going into the business supporting of Torah would not have been as great as the Torah itself and staying in the world of Torah. And that's why he had that bat kol that redirected him back to the world of Torah. My ayin lo ra'ata. What does it mean that no eye has been laid upon it? This is wine that has been encapsulated in its grapes from the time of creation. So it's something that is considered to be beyond any other delicacy or luxury or wonderful thing that one can experience in the world. It far exceeds it. But not only that, it's already from Sheshet Yimei Breshit. It's from the time of creation, which means that it is the purpose of the world. It is where the world is trying to get to. And therefore, this Olam Haba, or these rewards, are the rewards of reaching the destiny of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for the world and the plan of the world. And as the Gemara notes in Erevin, Yayin is associated with Sod and maybe even Me'in Olam Haba, because it's Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. It wipes away all the worries and the inhibitions of the individual. It allows them to be true to themselves and connect with God when you take away those things that inhibit your ability to connect with God. So here, the ultimate Olam Haba is the wine, similar to the way the wine works now, but it's from Meshech Yimei Breshit, which allows the inhibitions to be taken away and allows the person to connect back to what the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, or to be completely connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reish Lakish Amar Ze Eden. It refers to Eden, like we know in Gan Eden. Lo ra'ata ayin me'olam, which nobody saw. Bim tomar Adam heichan dar. What about Adam HaRishon, who was in Gan Eden? Begun. That's right. He was in the garden. Bim tomar gan hu Eden. If you say that the garden is synonymous with Eden, Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Nahar yotzei mi'Eden. The river comes out from Eden, lashkot et hagan, to water or provide for the gan. So you see from that, the gan is separate from Eden. Therefore, Adam HaRishon was placed in Gan Eden, which was a derivative of Eden, not Eden itself. And therefore, the Ayin Rata refers to that place called Eden, which again, which is similar to the memory of Rabbi Yochanan, which is it's a ultimate place, or what was ultimately God's goal for the world, which is that it should be an Eden, it should be something that reaches that ultimate unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and where the souls are rejoined with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So now we finished that first little piece of the Mishnah. Now we go back to what the Mishnah said before about certain people that are not entitled to Olam Haba. One of those individuals is a person who says, Ein Torah min HaShemayim. says that there is no such thing as Torah from the heavens. Tanu Banan, ki davar Hashem baza, because he denigrated the word of God, umitzvato hefar, and he nullified or disregarded the mitzvah of Hashem, he karet, tikaret, he will be cut off, he will be subject to karet. The double lashon, zeomer, ein Torah min haShamayim, that's a reference to someone who says there is no Torah min haShamayim, because he said, davar Hashem baza, he denigrated the word of God, that which God sent from min haShamayim, he claims is not min haShamayim. Davar acher, ki davar Hashem baza, the word of Hashem, or the word of God he denigrates, ze apikorus. That refers to an apikorus. And we'll see in a second what the difference is. Davar acher, ki davar Hashem baza, ze amigale panim b'torah. That's someone who is brazen with regards to the Torah. The definitions of all these items we'll see in the upcoming Gemara. Ben mitzvato hefar. What is it that he nullified or disregarded a mitzvah? Ze amefer brit basar. That's the one who nullifies, disregards, covers up the brit milah, the brit of Avraham Avinu. Hi karet, ti karet. You have that double lashon of karet there. Hi karet b'olam hazeh, ti karet b'olam haba. It'll be cut off in this world, but not only in this world, but in the world to come. Mikan amar Rabbi Elazar Amodai. From this, Rabbi Elazar Amodai says, the Mishnah in Avot, ha-michalel et ha-kodoshim, one who profanes the kodoshim, ve-amivazet ha-moadot, and one again who denigrates or shames the moadot, the holidays. As Rashi notes over here, the moadot here don't refer to the chagim, but rather to cholol shel moed. Vamefer brito shel Avraham Avinu, someone who nullifies or tries to override or cover up the brit milah. Vamegale panim b'torah shelo kehalacha, someone who's brazen in their approach to Torah, which leads to drashot, to things that are shelo kehalacha. Vamilbin pnei chaviro b'rabim, someone embarrasses their friend in public. Even if this person, in all other senses, has tremendous merits, that means that they learn Torah, and they have all these great deeds associated with them, they have no peace of Olam Haba. They are cut off from Olam Haba, based on the limudim that we just saw here about Kidvar Hashem Baza, because they denigrated the word of God, and we saw the different manifestations of that, that leads to Hikaret Tikaret. The Rambam in passing this halacha, and it's noted by some of the Rishonim, that the terminology that's used here are words in the present tense, which means hamichalel, hamivazeh, hamifer, hamigaleh. These are terms where it is in constant motion. I mean, this is a person who does this on a recurring basis. It's not a one-off thing where the person does it, but rather this is the nature of the individual, that these items are part and parcel of who they are. So if they do that on a continuous basis, that's hikaret terakaret. They will lose out on Olam Haba. Rashi over here notes that you learn everything from the Pasuk because all of these involve Bizayon. And therefore they are defined by the Pasuk, Divar Hashem Baza. Although, Marsha says that he thinks the Gemara is only saying it about the items that we mentioned. But the issues of Mechalelet HaKodashim and Mevazeh HaMoedot derive from a different source and not from the Pasuk that we're quoting over here. Tani Idach, now we have another bright that follows up on this Pasuk, Divar Hashem Baza. Zomer in Torah min haShamayim. That's what we saw before, which was that he denigrates or shames the word of Hashem. Means that he doesn't believe that Hashem gave the Torah min haShamayim. Vafirilu amar kol haTorah kula min haShamayim. Even if he says that the entire Torah is from the heavens, chutz mi pasuk zeh shelo amaro haKodesh Baruch Hu, the exception of one pasuk that God didn't say. Elo Moshe mipi atzmo. Moshe did it of his own volition, or he did it of his own. Zehu ki dvar Hashem baza. That is someone who denigrates the word of God, suggests that ain't Torah min haShamayim. Va'afilu amar kol haTorah kula min haShamayim chutz miduk-duk zeh. If a person says the entire Torah is min haShamayim, with the exception of this one little item, Rashi calls it chaserot v'yeterot, mi kal v'chomer zeh, with the exception of this kal v'chomer, or the exception of mikzera shavazo, zehu ki dvar Hashem baza. That's someone who denigrates the word of Hashem. So over here you have two examples in the bright, one in which the person denies something in Torah shebichtav, and that's also called denying Torah min haShamayim, even if it's a single item in the whole Torah. And similarly, when it comes to Torah shebal peh, a person who denies the mesorah of the Torah shebal peh, that is min haShamayim, that's also a denial of the idea that Torah was given min haShamayim, that it wasn't just Torah shebichtav, but it was also Torah shebal peh. And therefore, the denial of the chaserot, yeterot, kavachomer, gzer shava, which generally are misorot, That is also a denial of the fact that it's Torah min Hashamayim. Tanya, I Rabbi Meir Omer, Halomei Torah, Ve'enu Melamda. Someone who learns Torah, but does not teach it, Zehu Dvar Hashem Baza. That's a person who has denigrated the word of Hashem. He's obviously playing on the Dibur. That he is denigrating the Dibur of Hashem, because he's not Midaber. He doesn't speak over, he doesn't give over the word of Hashem. That's one way to view it. The other possibility is some, which is the Mishnah Navot, that says that I learned more my Talmidim, more than I did from my Rebbeim. So that when a person teaches, not only are they conveying information, the fact, first of all, that they have to articulate it, they have to organize it, makes them understand it better, makes them have a deeper understanding of that which they are presenting. In addition, the questions and the responses from the Talmidim are things that sharpen and wisen the teacher themselves. And therefore, it's Dvar Hashem Baza, because he learns, but he's not expressing it. And that lack of expression actually is, in some ways, denigrating the Torah. He's not allowing the Torah to develop in a way that would be beneficial and actually uplift the Torah he's learned, as well as the fact that he might be cutting off the Misorah. And we said before that Torah Shebaal Peh, the passing of the Torah, is part of this requirement of believing that it's Torah Min HaShemayim. Someone only takes and doesn't pass it on, then is actually cutting off that Misorah Min HaShemayim. V'natan Omer, kol mi she'eino mashgiach al ha-mishnah, anybody who's not careful about their Mishnayot, over here would seem to be indicating that he's not careful about the Torah Shebaal Peh. V'natan Omer, kol she'efsar la'asok b'Torah v'eino osek, anybody has the capacity, the ability to engage in Torah and doesn't engage in Torah, that is someone who is Dvar Hashem Baza. He's denigrating or shamed the word of Hashem because it's not important enough for him to spend the time or to invest the energies in learning the word of Torah. Bishmol Omer, Zeh Oved, Ovedat Kochavim. This is someone who worships Avodah Zarah, which might be the Pashtut HaPasuk, my Mashma'a. How does he know that? Where does he get that from the Pasuk? The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza. Zeh Mevazeh Dibur, Shenamar Lo Moshe Misinai. That's the girsa that we have. The more likely girsa, it's hinted to at the, in the Gra, but seems to make a lot more sense, which is, Zeh Dibur Shenam Lehem Yisrael B'Sinai. These are the Dibrot that were said directly to B'nai Yisrael. The ones that were not with Moshe as an intermediary, but they heard directly from God, which are the first two Dibrot. It says, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, and Lo Yelecha Luhim Acherim Al Panai. So those two Dibrot were heard directly from Hashem. So person who worships Avodah Zarah is Dvar Hashem B'Azah. He is the word of God. He is denigrating because that's the word of God that he heard. That I am the God, and there are no other gods beside me, and he goes against that. That's the person who is Dvar Hashem Baza. Rabbi Shua Omer, Kol Olmei Torah Umeshkacha, a person who learns Torah and then forgets it, Domeh, Lishash Yoledet Vikoveret. It's equivalent to a woman giving birth, and then buries the child that's born. And they go through all the trouble, and all the work, and all the pain, and in the end, they're left with nothing. It's a complete loss. That's someone who learns Torah, and then forgets that which they have learned. Now, the antidote to that we'll see in one second, but the idea being that this is a person who learns, but doesn't review their learning, or doesn't make the efforts to remember that which they learned. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Zemer b'chol yom, Zemer b'chol yom. A song each day, a song each day. The way that Rashi explains it, he has actually two explanations here as to what it means. First of which is that you should put your limud together and go over it just like you go over a song. Person who sings a song once, and then they sing it again, and they sing it again. Similarly, a person who learns Torah reviews it again, and then reviews it again and again. So the Torah should be no different than the song. And just like every day the song is a person's head, or they sing the song every day, so too the Torah should be reviewed daily or on a regular basis, so that it's not forgotten. That's the one way that Rashi explains it. We'll continue the Gemara like that, and then come back and explain it the other way. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Dumi Maikra. What's the pasuk that teaches you that? Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Nefesh Amel Amala Lo, the worker's hunger works for his benefit, works for him, because his mouth urges him on. So the person's hunger makes them more efficient or want to work, because their hunger or their need to have food makes them more efficient or driven to go and work. So that's what the Pashtut HaPasuk in Mishlei is. And the drush on it is, Hu amel b'makom zeh, he works over here, v'torato melet lo b'makom acher, and his Torah works for him somewhere else. So in the first explanation that we gave before, Rashi explains to us, because if a person works for Torah, nefesh amel, when he works for the Torah, am lalo, then the Torah will work on his behalf, ki akafa lapiu, Because he puts things in his mouth all the time. Just like you have the saddle, the blanket over the donkey, which is always on the donkey, so too, the person is always putting Torah in his mouth, reviewing it, zemer b'chol yom. That individual, that Torah which they work for, then will work for them in Olam Haba. So that's the first interpretation. Then Rashi brings Lishnachrina, which is zemer. Not zemer in the term of song, but zemer means a singer, which is komar. Hosik b'shirim uzmirot tadir. Someone who's always involved in singing and praise is called a singer. He becomes a zemer. So the girsa here for some of the Rishonim is zemer b'chol yom, zemer. That person who sings all the time or every day is a singer. And similarly with regards to Torah, a person who goes over Torah over and over again is called a person who has Torah, or is a Talmud Chacham who has Torah. So just like a singer acquires his name by being someone who's always engaged in singing and music and praises, so too a person who learns Torah is called a person who learns Torah because he's always engaged in the process of learning Torah. And therefore, Torah omelet lo, what it means over here is that a person who is amel b'makom zeh, tomeret omelet lo b'makom acher, shemechazeret alav, umevakeshet me'et koneh, imsor lo tameh Torah v'stadareh. So here Rashi interprets that to mean that a person who's always working in Torah, then they will also get extra benefits. They'll ask God to give them secrets of the Torah, insights into the Torah. Just like a singer or someone who is involved in music and Tish B'chol gets moments of inspiration, has moments where they do things because they're always engaged. It does, or it develops into something that someone who wasn't always engaged would have. So do by Torah. Someone who's continuously engaged in Torah can beseech Hashem, gets moments of inspiration, has insights into the Torah that they wouldn't otherwise have. And that's what it means. That if you're a Melba Torah, the Torah helps you. And it helps you to get a deeper understanding or grants you additional insights that you wouldn't have otherwise. And then, v'kokach lama, why is that? Mipnei shakaf, kafaf pio divrei Torah. The reason is because he put his mouth to Torah. He always has his mouth in Torah. He always is saddled with the Torah. And that makes him into a Torah personality. And that Torah personality is like the singer or the zamer. So those are the two ways that Rashi explains this piece of Rabbi Akiva. But you see that Rabbi Akiva really, in a sense, is the antidote to what Rabbi Yeshua was saying, which is a person who learns Torah and forgets it. Then it's the equivalent of giving birth and burying the baby. So the opposite to that, or the antidote to that, is what Rabbi Akiva says. You need to review all the time. You need to do chazara so that it becomes a part and parcel of who the individual is. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam la'amel nivra. Every person was born to work and to engage in activity. Shneamar, pasuk niyov says ki adam la'amel yivad. Person was born to work. Eni yodea im la'amel pe nivra, im la'amel melacha nivra. I don't know when a person is created, were they created to do work of the mouth or to do work which is the physical labor and engagement in labor with the remainder of their body, not with their mouth. Kishu omer, when it says in the pasuk ki akaf alav piu, that it saddled on him like his mouth, havi omer lamel pe nivra, that he was created to use his mouth or to use his articulation in his speaking, v'dayin eni yodea im lamel Torah im lamel sicha. Even there, I still don't know whether that which is the work that he should engage in is the work of Torah or is it the work of speaking, sales, convincing other people, doing other things that are about speaking, but not necessarily about Torah. Shomer lo yamush sefer Torah zeh mipicha. It says in Yoshua that the sefer Torah should not leave your mouth. Avyomer lo amel Torah nivra. The purpose of a person is to be engaged in Torah, and that is the primary amel that a person needs to be engaged in. So that's one way to explain it, which is a very simple level, that people have the ability to work. Working can come in the physical realm, in the physical labor, or engaged in activities. There's also engagement through articulation, thinking, and speaking, which are the unique aspects of the person. And that's what the Targum says when a Kodesh Baruch Hu creates man. It says, "Epapa apav nishmat chayim." Over there it says that he's made into a ruach memalala, speaking being. So the unique aspect of Adam is his ability to speak. So therefore the Gemara says that it's clear that the amela peh is what man is here for. Man's differentiation from the animals is amela peh. But then that amela peh can manifest in secular means or can manifest in Torah. And that's what we say, lo yamosh Torah zemi picha, tells you that it should be manifest in Torah, and that's the purpose of man. Now, you could read it in a more allegorical terms rather than the simple way we read it now, which is that when a person is damel nivra, the Gemara asks over here, is it damel peh or damel malacha? Is it to learn Torah or is it to do masim tovim, to engage in mitzvot? And the Gemara answer is damel peh, that the learning of Torah or an engagement of Torah is greater than that of masim tovim. But then the Gemara asks, even be'amel peh, is the purpose of the amel peh for learning of Torah, or is the amel peh for the sikha, which means tefillah, and speaking and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to which the Gemara answers, amel peh is the Torah. So that, not that mitzvot and tefillah are not important, but the primary is Torah, and secondary to that would be the tefillah, and then the masim tovim, which is the wholeness of man, but the primary part of that is Torah. So whether you read it literally or allegorically, it still brings out that the purpose of man is to engage in Torah, and that's what he was created for, because that's Hashem's blueprint for the world, and their engagement in Torah gives you guidance as to what Hashem expects of you, as well as the world as a whole. Final Dama Rava, that's what Rava says, Kule gufe duruftike ninhu, that all bodies or all individuals are duruftike. We'll explain that in 1 second. Tove lezaki David the roof to key the oraita. Those that are lucky, or those that merit, will have the roof to key of the Torah. So Rashi over here brings two different interpretations of this pasuk. The first of which is the roof to day tachinan klomar kolo gufim la mel nivru. Everybody was created to work. So now everybody has to work. Lucky is the one who gets to work in Torah. In that, if everybody has to be engaged in some activity or some profession or some engagement, then better or lucky is the one who's engaged in the Torah and not in other items. A similar thing in the last Mishnah in Kiddushin, as well as in the Gemara, about this idea that there are all different professions out there. Lucky is the one whose profession is clean and easy, versus the one whose profession is difficult or smelly, so on and so forth. I mean, everybody has to be engaged or do certain things in life. Lucky is the one who turns out that their profession, or here in Torah, that their engagement is with the Torah. So that's one way to read it. That's Rashi's. Lashon Acher, the other option is, Deraftike Kis Aruch. It is a long pouch, Shemisim Bim Bo Ma'ot, that you place money in it. So that's what he says here, Kol HaGufim Nartikim Heim LeKabel. All bodies are a receptacle to receive and to put things into it. We are sponges that sponge up everything that's around us. That's knowledge, our environment, and things that we engage with. Lucky is the one whose body becomes a storage or a pouch for Torah, versus the other trivial items and pursuits that a person can have, or knowledge that they can accumulate. So lucky is the one who makes their receptacle a receptacle of Torah. Similar idea to which we were expressing before, which is, if everybody is Yulad Amel, everybody's going to have to work and engage. Lucky is the one who engages in Torah, or lucky is the one who makes his body into the receptacle of Torah, rather than the receptacle of other things. But no, if Isha Chaser Leif, the one who engages in adulterous behavior lacks understanding. Amarish Lakish, Zelomei Torah Liprakim. This is someone who learns Torah intermittently. Doesn't do it on a continuous basis, or doesn't do it in a way that is organized and consistent. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Ki na'im ki tishmerim bitnecha ikonu yachtav al svatecha. They are pleasant when you keep them and store them in your innards, ikonu yachdav, when they are firmly attached, al svatecha, on your lips. So the way that Rashi explains it over here is, ematai tishmerein bebitnecha, when will they be kept inside of you? When will you be able to hold on to the Torah you learn? Zmach ikonu yachdav al svatecha, when they are firmly attached to your mouth, or meaning that you are continuously engaged or organized in a way that you engage in the Torah. In that way, they will be well kept with you. And if you follow the second version of Rashi in the Divrei Rava, then this also would be somewhere along those lines, which is, if the Ruftiki is a receptacle for Torah, then Tishremein Bibitnecha would be an expression of that, keeping them inside of you, make them a part and parcel of you. And that is similar to the Noef Isha, the one who has these adulterous affairs here and there, Chaser Leiv, is lacking of understanding. Marriage, which Torah is compared to, the Eshet Chayil is spoken both in reality about a woman and a wife, but also about the Torah, or Bnei Israel's marriage to the Torah. So Torah is described like an Isha, And so one who is engaged and together with the Isha at all times, then they have the leif, they have the heart and understanding of what is needed, and they're able to be together with that individual, live as husband and wife, quote unquote. Whereas someone who's no ape, someone who comes in and goes out, comes in and goes out, they have no relationship with that individual. It's just an affair. It's not a relationship. And similarly with Torah, that person is chaser leif. That person lacks understanding, doesn't understand that it is a relationship that is being built and not simply just a one-time affair. Here we're darshaning the same pasuk that we brought before from Bamidbar Tedvav, the other part of the pasuk, which says, someone who acts brazenly or acts against the Shem, this is Menasheh, the son of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu Melech was a great tzaddik. His son Menasheh turns out to be a great rasha. There's a story in the Gemara in the beginning of Brachot as to the fact that Chizkiyah didn't want to have a son because he knew that Menasheh would be a great rasha. So yeah, Yoshev Doresh Bagadot Shodofi, that he was sitting and darshaning Agadah, but Agadot Shodofi. Either it means, and we're going to see in one second, that he's saying the pieces of Torah have no meaning to them, or the possibility that he darshaned them in a way that was not appropriate or made no sense or actually poked fun at those items. Amar. Why did Moshe write, Ela Vachot Dotan Timna? Timna, Ita Pilegesh Lelifaz. That pasuk that's found in Breshit, what's the purpose of that pasuk? What information does that convey to us that we need to know? Why is it relevant that Lotan's sister was Timna, and that Timna turned out to be a Pilegesh, a concubine to Eliphaz? Similarly, with the story of Ruvain, Vayelech Ruvain b'mei Ktzir Chitim, went out in the time of the wheat harvest, and he found Dudaim in the Sadeh. These two psukim seem to give us information that is, in a sense, meaningless, information that is not necessary for the conveyance of the stories, or is not meaningful in terms of adding to the Torah. They're not additive. And so one way to read what Menashe was doing is, Dreshot Tel Dofi was saying that these psukim are meaningless, or that which is written in the Torah seems completely extraneous. The other one is to say that he not only said these psukim are extraneous, but then he was doresh things on them that were of a nature that was against the spirit of the Torah. Yatzba bat kol v'amra lo. So then a heavenly voice comes out and says, Teishev achicha tidaber, ben imecha titen dofi. Sit and speak out against your brother. You're slandering the son of your mother. Eila asita v'echrashti, you've done these things, and I kept silent. Temita heyot eyeh kamocha, you thought that I was similar to you. Ochichacha v'echa le'enecha, but I will rebuke you and make the matter known before you that I consider it unacceptable. That's the response to Menasheh, that you think that you and I are on the same level, that you can question the validity of the Torah, the necessity of psukim in the Torah. You and I are not in the same place. So you're slandering the Torah, you're slandering Hashem. I'm going to rebuke you, meaning that I reject what you're saying. Balav mifurash b'kabbalah. On him it says, in the Navi, hoi moshkei ha'avon b'chavlei hashav. Those that are steeped in iniquity and that are caught in the cords of vanity. Uche avot ha'agala chata'a. And like the rope of the cart, they sin. Maika avot ha'agala. What does it mean like the ropes of the cart? Amrabasi Yetzarab Tchila Domed Chut Shel Kuvya, or the other gear size Buchya or Kuchya, which is like the web of a spider, many very thin strings. Lusov Domed Avot Agala. In the end, it becomes like these thick ropes. That's the work of the Yetzarab, that he starts out small, and then he gets bigger and bigger. Or the other interpretation, that is a Buchya, which is like the shuttle and the loom, which means again that they're first the Yetzirah entraps you in something that is thin, that you think you can break out of, that you can leave, and eventually it becomes bigger or tighter and tighter, where you are unable to overcome or to escape from the trap of the Yetzirah. And similarly over here, Menashe starts out with these types of questions or these things that seemingly are innocuous. First of all, he's sinning without any real purpose for this or any benefit from what he's doing. But as he does that, he digs himself deeper and deeper in to the point where he then becomes a kofar and then he engages in avodah zarah. And that's the work of the yetzer hara that slowly pulls the person in and draws them into this. So the Gemara says, "Datan Allah." While we're on the topic, "Miat achod latan timna mahi." What is the point of that pasuk? What is the reason that that pasuk is mentioned in the Torah? Timna bat malachim havai. Timna was a princess. Dichtiv aluf lotan aluf timna. Kol aluf malchuta velotagahi. And every aluf that's mentioned in the Torah is someone who is a king or a leader without a crown, in that he's a leader of a tribe. He's a leader in some sense. He's just not a crowned king. So here you have Aluf Lotan. As Rashi notes over here, Achot Lotan, she was the sister of Lotan. So if Lotan is one of these leaders, and she's the sister, then she was born into a family of royalty. And therefore, she must be of a royal lineage, and she was a princess. Ba'ile Giure, she wanted to convert. Bata Yitzel Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, she came to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to convert. Probably not Yaakov. Veloka blua, and they did not accept her. Haltka v'ayta pilegesh lafil l'elifaz ben Esav. Since she was not accepted by the Avot, she then went on to be a concubine to Eliphaz, the son of Esav. Amra, this was her logic. Mutav te'shivcha l'umazo, better off being a concubine in this nation, lo t'kveg v'ira l'umacheret, rather than being royalty or ahead in another nation. Nafak mina Amalek, from her descended Amalek, was born of that union. Zarinu l'Israel, that causes infinite pain and difficulty for Bnei Israel. Maitaima delo, ibayilu derachaka. Why was that the result of her union? Because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov should not have pushed her away, or should not have dissuaded her from converting. Here, the Mefarshim disagree as to what the issue was. Some say that she was converting in order to marry into the nation, which generally don't accept Giorot like that, and that's why they rejected her. Nevertheless, since she was coming of her own volition, they should have accepted her. Others say that she possibly was born of some infidelity, and she was a mamzeret of sorts, and therefore they didn't want to accept her. But again here, someone who comes of their own volition to convert, we don't reject them. And generally, even though we do push away converts and we dissuade converts, when they come of their own volition, they should have accepted her. And that's why it says, Dilei by the Hadar Rachaka, they shouldn't have pushed her away, which then led her to marry into Esav's family in order to somehow, by sideways, get into this family. And that resulted in the birth of Amalek, who became the arch enemy of Israel. And over here, we see something that we saw earlier in Sanhedrin, which is people's powers, or that which they do, can be manifest in the good or manifest in the bad. It just depends where they end up. And over here, that's what ends up happening. Since she didn't end up with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to be influenced and be in the Derech HaAvot, she ends up with Esav and then creates the arch enemy of Israel, Amalek. So now, what about the other pasuk that he bought that seemingly was extraneous? You see from here that tzaddikim are careful not to take other people's property. And that's why he went out, b'mei tzir chitim. Went out after the harvest of the wheat, after people had finished with their fields, with their mafkir, whatever's left in their fields, and only then did Reuven go out and pick the flour. Imsa dudaim basadeh, and he finds the dudaim in the sadeh, ma dudaim. What exactly are these dudaim? Amar Rav, yavruchi. Rav says they are yavruchi, that's the Aramaic translation that's brought by the Targum for dudaim, which Rashi says, veloit preishmahi, he says, I actually don't know what that is. Many Rishonim and others translate as being mandrakes, which are a known aphrodisiac and do grow at the same period of time or mature at the same period of time as the wheat harvest. Others, including Rashi on the Torah, say that it is jasmine. Levi Amar Sigli, Rabbi Yonatan Amar Sviski. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says that it's all part of the same species, it's just different parts of it. Sigle v'saviski minim acherim. Sigle ikare asavim. It is the roots. V'umi minei b'samim. It's a type of spice. V'imahot shalotan asavim. And the bulbs of those asavim, or the fruits of those asavim, kare sigle, are called sigle. And sigle, some translate as being violets. Whereas Rashi on the Torah quotes as the definition of dudaim, sigle, and calls them there jasmine. Saviski nami bin samim. And saviski is also a type of spice. And others say it's the flower or the fruit of the mandrake. So it's not clear whether Rashi thinks that these are other types of spices or they're different parts of the mandrake, which also has fruits, roots, and flowers. So it might be that it's different parts of it that are used for their aroma, and that's what's being described here, or they're really speaking about different types of spices that are being noted over here. Amar of Alexandri, Kol osek b'Torah lishma, anyone who engages in Torah for the sake of Torah, mesim shalom b'pamalya shalmala v'pamalya shalmata, makes peace both in the entourage above with the malachim, v'pamalya shalmata in the entourage down below amongst Klal Yisrael, shenemar, because the pasuk says, Oh, yachazek b'ma'uzi, you take hold of my strength, yaseh shalom li, you will then make peace for me, shalom yaseh li, peace you will make for me. So the duplication of the shalom in the pasuk is indicative of the fact of achat damala and achat lamata, and it says ma'uzi, my strength, which Rashi notes for us is the Torah. So the one who takes hold of my strength of the Torah brings peace both to those, to the pamal yashamala, the entourage above, the malachim and shalom, to Bnei Israel down below. Rav Amar kilu bana paltrin shomala v'shomato. It's as if he built a palace both above and below. Shnemar, because it says, Ba'asim divarai b'ficha, I will place my word in your mouth. Ubetzel yadi kisiticha, and in the shadow of my hand I covered you. Ntoa shamayim v'lisod aretz, to plant the heavens and to lay foundations of the earth. So you see over here that the person who has the Dvar Beficha, he has the word of the Torah in his mouth, it's as if he's built, meaning Toa Shemaim Lisodar, it's as if he's built something above in his heavens and down below, and that's what the Memor of Rav is, Kilu Bana Paltrin Shamalav Shamata. Yochan Amar, Af Megin Al Kol Olam Kulo. He also defends or protects the whole world. Shenemar, Ubetzel Yadi Kisiticha. In the shadow of my hand, I protected you or sheltered you. Levi Amar, Af Mekarevet Agula. He also brings the Geula closer. Shenemar, a continuation of that same pasuk that we just quoted before, which is Le'emor L'Tzion Amiata, that he will say to Tzion, you are my nation, and that Hashem will take back Bnei Israel and declare them his nation or his unique nation. Amar Reish Lakish, Kol Maledet Ben Chaviro Torah, Malea Alava Ketuv Kilo Aso. Anybody who teaches his friend's child Torah is as if he has made him, created him, or fathered him, parented him. Shenemar, the pasuk says, by Avram Avinu in this week's parsha, Veta Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. When Avram leaves Charan, he takes with him himself, Sarai Ishto, Lot Ben Achiv, and Veta Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. If you look in the Targum there, Veta Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, the Targum is, Veta Nefesh Asher Shabidu Le'oraita. The individuals that they had brought closer to Torah, and it uses the term in the Torah, Asu, that they made them. Why did they make them? Because Avram taught them Torah, brought them close to Torah. It's as if he made them. We have this memra in the Gerata and other places where we see that with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu and the children of Aaron, that the children of Aaron are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu because he taught them Torah. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kilo Asan LeDivrei Torah. It's as if he created the Torah itself or those words of Torah itself, because it says Shmartem et Divrei Abrit Hazot. If you keep this covenant or you cause others to keep the covenant, Vasitem Otam. It's as if you made them. Not that you do them and you buy by the mitzvah, but it's as if you made the Torah itself. Rav Amar, kilo asau latzmo. As if he created himself. Shnemar, vasitem otam. That you made them. Al tikra otam, elatem. Don't say that it's to make them, but to make yourself. So it's as if you've created yourself or created these individuals when you bring them close to Torah. Amar Rabbi Abahu, kol ma'aseh et chaveiro d'dvar mitzvah. Anyone who compels his friend to do a mitzvah, pushes him to do a mitzvah. It's as if he himself did the mitzvah. Shenemar, because it says with Moshe Rabbeinu with regards to the difficulty they have when they have no water and they're complaining at the end of Parshat Bishalach, it says there by the Masal Meriva that you should go to the Tzur Bechorev and then you should hit the rock and the waters will come out. And there it says that when you're going to the rock, you should take Matcha Shrekita Boet Yor. And it says that Moshe, you should take along with you the staff with which you hit the Yor. Since when did Moshe use the staff to hit the Yor? Hello, Aaron, Hiko? Wasn't it Aaron who did it? Person who pushes his friend to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who instructed Aaron to do it. He's the one who pushed him to become the Navi or his assistant. It's as if he did it. So Moshe is credited with the hitting of the Yor, despite the fact that he didn't hit it because he didn't want to be Kafui Tov. And Aaron did it on his behalf, but since he was the one who pushed Aaron, he's credited as if he had done it himself. So So now the Gemara comes back to discuss some of those categories that we noted before, first of which is apikoros. What is an apikoros? Rav Reb Chanin Amrei Tavayu, Zeh Mevazeh Talmud Chacham. That's someone, or Talmidei Chachamim, that's someone who denigrates, embarrasses, puts down Talmidei Chachamim. B'yochanam Reb Shuben Levi Amrei, Zeh Mevazeh Chaveiro B'fnei Talmidei Chachamim. This is someone who denigrates his friend in front of a Talmud Chacham. Over here, it's not clear exactly what the offense is, but it seems that if the person is not deserving of that denigration, and then why is he doing it in front of this Talmud Chacham? It's beneath the dignity. Or if he does deserve it, then the Talmud Chacham should be the one giving the tochacha, and not him. And again, that is a disregard or disrespect towards the Talmud Chacham. So Bishlam Alamanda Mar Mevazeh Chaveiro B'fnei Talmidei Chachamim Apikoru Savi. That's the definition of apikoros. Mevazeh Talmid Chacham Atzmo, person who denigrates, embarrasses, puts down a Talmud Chacham himself. Then he'll be defined as someone who is brazen towards the Torah without proper guidance, giving incorrect halakha. That'll be someone who denigrates the chacham. Then if you define apikoros as being someone who denigrates the Talmud Chacham, and obviously that would include denigrating someone else in front of a Talmud Chacham, then what's an example, or what is someone who is Megaleh Panim B'Torah, Shaloka Halacha? Kagon Menashe Ben Chizkia. That would be, like we saw before, what Menashe Ben Chizkia did, which was he was Doresh Agadot Shadofi. Some say this on the latter part of the Braita that we brought before. The Megaleh Panim B'Torah, the definition of that is, Rav Reb Chanin Amar Zeh Mevazeh Talmid Chacham, or Talmidei Chachamim, this is one who denigrates Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Amrei Zeh Mevazeh Et Chaviro B'fnei Talmud Chacham. This is someone who denigrates another, or puts down another in front of a Talmud Chacham. Bishlam Anda Amar Mevazeh Talmid Chacham Atzmo. Then if you say that it is the Talmud Chacham himself, Galeh Panim B'Torah Havi, that's the definition of Galeh Panim B'Torah, then Mevazeh Chaviro B'fnei Talmud Chacham Apikoros Havo. Then the person who denigrates his friend in front of a Talmud Chacham, that will be the definition of Apikoros. As Rashi notes over here, the Gemara is certain that Megaleh Panim Mishtamalan Dechamir Mi Apikoros. That a Megaleh Panim B'Torah, clearly according to the Gemara, is viewed as being more severe or being more problematic than Apikoros. And therefore, whatever the violation of Apikoros has to be, something lighter or less severe than that of Megaleh Panim B'Torah. Lamanda Amar Mevazeh Chaviro B'Fnei Talmud Chacham is Megaleh Panim Torah Havi. That's already the definition of Megaleh Panim. Apikoros G'manan. Then what's the case of apikoros, which is a lighter form? What other lighter thing do you have? Rav Yosef, Gaonahani Damre, Mayahanulan Rabbanan. Apikoros is like those people who say, what do the Rabbanan do for us anyway? The Didhu Karu, they learn or they read the Torah for themselves. The Didhu Tanu, they learn or they read the Mishnah for themselves. All they do is for themselves. They're selfish, self-centered, and it has nothing to do with us. Amrale Abaye, Hai, Megale Panim B'Torah Namihu. That person is similar to a person who's Megale Panim B'Torah. If it were not for my covenant of day and night, which we know from the Pasuk in Yeshua, there, Yomam Valayla, that you have to learn day and night. So Yom Valayla Briti is reference to the Torah. Then Chukot Shemayim Varetz Lo Samti. Then the world would not exist, or it would not continue. So that's an obvious answer to what the Chachamim contribute to the world. And therefore, someone who says that is Megaleh Panim B'Torah as well. Amar of Nechman Yisrach Mehacha Nami Shvamina. You can see that same thing from this pasuk. Shneamar Nasati L'Cholamakom Ba'Avuram, which it says by Avram when he's pleading the case of Sodom not to destroy it. He says over there, if there are tzaddikim there, would you save the city? And Hashem agrees to save the city because of the merits of the tzaddikim. So you see that the Talmidei Chachamim, the tzaddikim, provide that protection or that benefit to the individuals. Elokagon. So then, what would be then the definition of an apikoros? He is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and they're learning something, and he remembers something from somewhere else that they had learned together, or even if he learned it from someone else. Didn't we say this over there? Velo amar, and he doesn't present it with a precursor of hachi amar mar. Didn't my master say? And he's addressing the Talmud Chacham and the Rebbe in a cordial manner, rather than in a manner of respect. So a person just says, oh, didn't we learn over there? That's ignoring the difference between the Talmud and the Rebbe, and he's not addressing the Rebbe in a respectful manner. He has to open up, or he has to address the Rebbe, and didn't you teach us, Master, didn't you teach us? He has to have that manner of respect towards the Rebbe when he introduces that information. Rabbi Amar Kohani Hani Debei Binyamin Asya, like the family or the children of Binyamin the Rofe, Damri Mai Hanalan Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan do on our behalf? How do they help us out at all? Me'olam lo sharlan urva. They never make an orev, a raven, which is a non-kosher bird. They never make that mutar. Lo asran lan yona. And a yonah, which is a bird that is kasher, they never make it asur. I mean that we could learn from the Torah everything we need. The Rabbanan really aren't adding any value. They're not making it bring any chidushim or additional value over here. Because of that, Rava Kava Maiti Trifta the Beit Binyamin Kameh, they used to bring a trefa from the household of Binyamin to work in front of him to check it out. Kava Chazi by Taima Lehetera, he saw a reason not to make it a trefa and to say that it was okay. Amar Lehu Techzu the Kasherina the Chulurva, he would play their own game and say, "Listen, you see this? I'm being matter for you what the raven of the Torah. I made matzah for you, raven, something that was non-kosher. You thought it was a trefa. Now you brought it to me, and I'm telling you it's mutar. So I'm doing something which you think is not kosher, I'm making kosher." Gavachazila, Tamali Sura, they brought him something that they thought was fine, and then he thought it was a sore. Amalo, Dakse, Dakasrana, the Chul Yonah. You can see here that I am making a sore for you, Yonah, a thing that you think is kosher. So there, Robo responding in the way that they criticized the Rabbanan and showing the value added for the Fidush that the Rabbanan brought. Which is not a respectful manner in which to speak. He says, like those Rabbonon, and he spoke about them in a way that was dismissive in a sense, not a respectful manner. Or Rashi brings the alternative, which is, he said, Hani Rabbonon, those Rabbonon, instead of saying Hanhu Rabbonon, which is a more respectful and formal way to address the Rabbonon, he would say Hani Rabbonon, as if it was, in again, in a dismissive manner. Papa made a mistake once, and when he was speaking to his Rebbe, or in a situation like we mentioned before, and he said a fast, or he fasted for that because he felt that what he had done was wrong, or he acknowledged what he had done was wrong. And because of that, he fasted to atone for the fact that he had spoken in a way that was dismissive of the Rabbanan. So here they offer up the alternatives of what an apikoros could be. Rav Yosef says that, like those individuals who say what the Rabbanan do for us, Abaye says that already is classified as Megaleh Panim B'Torah. That's even above the level of an apikoros. And he brings psukim to prove that. Rav Nachman Yitzchak also brings a pasuk to support that. Robo just gives an example of what Rav Yosef said of individuals who say Ma'ahanu Rabbanan, that would be like an apikoros. And then we have Rav Papa over here make a mistake in the way that he spoke, and he felt that was inappropriate based on what we're seeing here in the Gemara, and therefore he took upon himself a fast to atone for the way that he had spoken. They were going to stop here, 8 lines down on the top of Kuf Amud Aleph.